I want to use some scripture out of the Old Testament, and it's a little bit different than what probably I normally use, but I think probably by way of explanation, there needs to be a little bit of background, but I'm going to read a little bit, and then I'm going to stop and pick up, and as I usually do, just kind of scatter around from here to there. You know, when I first began to think about this, and actually the Lord began to kind of lay it on my heart, I kept thinking, well, you know, what is there in that scripture? Oh, I guess it didn't come on to me. Now then, better? All right, I'm sorry. I thought I'd turned it on. I guess I didn't. Pull my dress up here and look again, guys. I thought, you know, that's an unusual scripture, and why would I, you know, be going to use that? And I still don't know why, but I'm going to use it anyway. Out of the 12th chapter of the book of Numbers, beginning with the first verse, "And Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman. And they said, Hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken also by us? And the Lord heard it." Now, my first thought is that this is so typical of many people today. Instead of getting right to the issue that may be needing to be addressed, we beat all around the bush about it, or we try to come up with something that is absolutely absurd in comparison to what really the issue is. And it's kind of interesting that the scripture says that Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses. Now, if you go back, you know that the Lord had chosen Moses to lead the children of Israel up out of the land of Egypt. And of course, you know, Moses was not very pleased about that to begin with. He offered his excuses unto the Lord as to why he should not be the one to do that. And I basically want to be sure that we understand this morning that many times God lays upon the heart of people to accept leadership responsibility. And we need to be willing to do that. Now, most of us can probably come up with the same thing that Moses did whenever the Lord had called him to go down and lead the children of Israel up out of the land of Egypt. And Moses said unto the Lord, his Lord, he said, you know, I'm not qualified to do that. He said, you know, first of all, they're not going to believe me. You're not going to believe me, but because I've been raised in the house of the Pharaoh, the king, effectively, of Egypt. And these people have been in bondage to us all these years, and now I'm going to go down there and say, the Lord sent me to lead you out of this land of bondage. He's heard your prayers, and I'm your man. They're not going to believe that. He said, you know, when I go down there, what am I going to say? The Lord said, when you go down there, you say, I am. Now, that's the name the Lord gave himself. And if you go back in Scripture, you'll find that's all in caps. I am. He said, you go down there and say, I am has sent me. And later he says, I am that I am has sent me. You go down there and you tell them the Lord has sent you. Now, I recognize I spoke just briefly with a family member of Bob Clark, and she asked me how long I'd been preaching, and I told her, and her first statement was, so you didn't go to seminary? I said, no, ma'am, I didn't. I said, my education is through the School of Hard Knocks, and that's a pretty hard way to learn it. The truth of the matter is, I heard a speaker speak one time. He was speaking at a graduation, and he said, the problem with the School of Hard Knocks is that by the time you learn it, you're so beat up and worn out that you aren't any good to anyone. And that's probably a good definition of me, beat up and worn out. But anyway, there are people who say, well, you know, I just can't believe that God called you to preach the gospel. I wish sometimes that were true. I wish that I could just stand here this morning and tell you, he didn't call me. I certainly would have changed the direction of my life a long time ago. I would have done some things differently than what I've done. And I'm not bragging this morning because I truly believe in the leadership of the Spirit of God. And I'm thankful that God did call me and he's blessed me so much over the years in so many ways. And you people are a blessing to me. And I never can say that enough to you. But I want you to understand this morning that I recognize not everybody's going to believe me. First of all, they're not going to believe in God calling a man to preach. And second, they're not going to believe in the gospel that he preaches. And they're not even going to believe in God that he's talking about. And so we need to understand that not everybody is going to just fall right in line with us. And so Moses said, Lord, they're not going to believe me. Now, I've got to hurry along because I'm leading up to something here. Anyway, the Lord said, you go down there and tell them that I have sent you, and I will. And then Moses said, Lord, I'm not eloquent enough of speech. You know, I'm not a good speaker. I'm not capable of doing that. The Lord said, okay, I'll provide for that. I'll give you someone to go with you, and there'll be a mouthpiece for you. They'll speak for you, but I'll speak to you, Moses, and then you'll speak unto them. Effectively, we'd call it a translator today. So they went down there, and they led the children of Israel up out of the land of Egypt, and the Lord was with Moses through this whole thing. And time after time, the Lord and Moses would have conversations, and the Lord would listen as Moses spoke on behalf of the people and said, you know what? These people, they're upset. Now, the Lord knew these things. He didn't need Moses there to tell him, but Moses was the man that he had put there in that position of leadership to lead them. And so Moses is the man who goes up before the Lord, and he says, Lord, you know, these people, they're upset. They're out here down, and all of a sudden they're thirsty. They don't have water to drink, and they're moaning and crying. And they're saying, oh, we'd have been better off if we could have just died down there in Egypt. All they've done is brought us out here to kill us off. We'd have been better if we could have gone back. Now, let me tell you, I find sometimes that people are that way today. They're always wanting to go back. Oh, yeah, I'd like to go back to the way it was in the old days. Well, I don't know how many of you really would want to do that. It sounds good, but I'm not real sure that I want to go back. I know one thing, if I was to go back and I had any sense about me at all, I'd do a lot of things different than what I did. There's no question about that. But I probably wouldn't have any more sense then than I do now. And I'd probably make the same mistakes again, or even more. I don't know what I would do. But I can't go back. Neither can you. We cannot go back, folks. We've got to go forward. We've got to understand that God has blessed us with what we have right now. And these people would cry, and the Lord would come along, and he'd bless them then. And they'd be just as happy as could be until the next obstacle came along. And then all of a sudden they're crying and they're complaining. And it's all the Lord's fault. Finally, the Lord talks to Moses. He says, Moses, I want you to come up here into the mount. I'm going to give you some law. It's time for these people to have some law. I'm going to give you 10 laws. Just 10. And so, you know, Moses went up to the mount and the Lord gave him the 10 commandments. Y'all know that. But do you know what happened while he was up there? While he was up there, and he had been up there so long that the people down below, they didn't know what was going on. They didn't know what was going on, and so they began to concoct up all these ideas of what might be going on up there. People's imaginations are marvelous. And if they aren't in the know on everything, they can get to imagining everything under the sun. And so they begin to think about, and then they had a little help. Aaron, the man whom the Lord had given unto Moses to be a mouthpiece, comes up and says, you know what? We don't know what's happened to him. Let's do something different. Now, let me tell you something, people. Sometimes being different is okay, but sometimes being different can be dangerous. And we better think through. I think every once in a while, and I realize, you know, that we as a church, we're a small church, and we struggle, and we get along, and things don't seem to progress as a lot of other churches do. And so I start thinking, I wonder what we could do differently. Well, let me tell you what brought us to where we are today. It wasn't being different. It wasn't being different. It was staying true to what the Word of the Lord says. Now, to be different is okay as long as it is consistent with what the Word teaches. But Aaron said to these people, tell you what you do. He said to all of us, men, this is going to kill you. He said to the women and the men, take the earrings, the golden earrings, out of your ears. It's okay, Joyce. I'm not after you women. I'm after these men. I never yet see a man that's got an earring in that it don't bother me a little bit. It probably bothers me worse when I see them hanging out of their nose, off the side of it or something. And Mark, I can't help but think of a bull when I see that ring in their nose. We used to put a ring in the bull's nose to control them, you know. And let me tell you, it'll control them. But apparently there were men wearing golden earrings in that day because Aaron said, take them out of your ears and bring them to me. And they brought them to him, and you know, he molded the golden calf. Now listen, the Lord said to Moses while he's up there in the mount, he said, Moses, he said, the people, your people, I want to go back and read that to you because I think that's important that you understand. Let me find it. I thought I had that mark. Well, isn't that something? What I did, I think, was... No, here it is. And the Lord said unto Moses, I have seen this people and be... Well, let me back up. And the Lord said unto Moses, go get thee down, for thy people which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. Now that's the Lord speaking to Moses. He said, your people, Moses, your people that you've led up out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made them a molten calf and have worshipped it and have sacrificed thereunto and said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And the Lord said unto Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now therefore let me alone, that my wrath may be wax hot against them, and that I may consume them, and I will make of thee a great nation. Lord speaking to Moses, he said, your people, they're yours. Let me tell you something. When we're doing wrong, nobody wants us. I don't want you. The Lord don't want you. You don't want me. We're in this. The Lord, you know, these people, we know the story, and I'm not going to go into that anymore, but anyway, and I've got to get this laid so that I can get you up to Miriam and to Aaron here as to whenever that they're complaining about the leadership of Moses. And they said, it says the reason was they were complaining is because Moses had married an Ethiopian woman, a black woman. And so they're complaining about that. They had no reason to complain about that. That wasn't in their business. Absolutely none. It would have been today. No, it wasn't. It's no different today than it was then. It was not their business. And so they're using this to complain about the leadership of Moses. It's a front, folks. It isn't really what's wrong with them. They're ticked about something else. They probably could have cared less whether Moses married this Ethiopian woman or not. You know, they used that. But the truth of the matter is, it's what he had preceded that's got them in this position. And the Lord speaking to Moses said, "There's your people, you go down there." He said, "In fact, they're such a stiff-necked, hard-hearted people. You just let me, I'll wipe them out. And I'll give you another people." That wasn't impossible for the Lord to do. He could have done that. All he had to do was just speak the word, and they could have disappeared right then and there. Now listen. "And Moses besought the Lord his God and said, 'Lord, why does thy wrath wax hot against thy people?'" Well, Moses said, "They're not mine, they're yours. They're your people." See what I said earlier? Nobody wanted them. The Lord said, "Moses, they're your people." Now then Moses says to the Lord, "They're your people. Why are you so angry at your people? Thy people, which thou hast brought forth out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand. Wherefore should the Egyptians speak and say, 'For mischief did he bring them out to slay them in the mountain and to consume them from the face of the earth?' Turn from thy fierce wrath and repent of this evil against thy people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, thy servants to whom thou swearest by thine own self, and saidest unto them, 'I will multiply your seed as the stars of heaven, and all this land that I have spoken of will I give unto your seed, and they shall inherit it forever.'" Lord said, or Moses said, "Now, Lord, remember, you didn't only have these people, but you made a promise unto their forefathers that you would deliver these people and give them a land flowing with milk and honey, that their inheritance would be forever. So, Lord, don't let it go out now and the people be able to say, 'Why, he brought them out here out of the land of Egypt to destroy them because of their mischief.'" No, no. And the Bible says that the Lord then repented of the evil which he thought to do unto his people. And as we know then that he spared them. Now then, what happens after that? Listen. "And Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman. And they said, 'Hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses?'" Now, remember this. Miriam is a prophetess. She had led all of the women on one occasion, and they had just been praising the Lord. Glory, glory, hallelujah. But now then she's got caught up where that she's instrumental in what's taking place here in misleading the people. And Aaron, no question about him. So they're now saying, "Well, does the Lord only spoke to Moses? Is he the only one? Or can he not also speak by us?" And the Lord heard it. Now let me tell you something. The Lord knows what's going on all the time. He knows what's going on in Hickory County. He knows what's going on in the state of Missouri. He knows what's going on in the United States of America. And he knows what's going on in the world. He knows everything. The Lord heard what Miriam and Aaron were complaining about, though. Now listen. "Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth." Yeah, and what effect of this thing is, Moses isn't going to say anything about it. Now whenever they talked about the Lord, Moses was right there front and center, and he was the person who stood up and said, "All those who are on the Lord's side over here." Every time Moses had defended the name of the Lord. But now then, when they're accusing Moses of this, the Bible says he's a meek man. He didn't defend himself. But the Bible says the Lord heard it. "And the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses and unto Aaron and to Miriam." Oh, does the Lord only speak to Moses? I want you to know Miriam and Aaron hear him now. He speaks directly to them. "Come out ye three unto the tabernacle of the congregation." We'd have said he's called on the carpet. The Lord called them on the carpet. The Lord heard what they were saying. Don't you think for a second he didn't. He said, "Come out here, all three of you. Come out here. I want you separate and apart from all the rest of them. You're the ones who are doing the complaining. You, Miriam, and you, Aaron, about Moses. So bring out here." And the Lord came down in the pillar of the cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forth. Does the Lord only speak to Moses? I guess they're finding out, aren't they? How would you like to have been in their place right now? I wouldn't have wanted to have been there for anything under the sun. Whether the Lord was going to bless me or curse me, I wouldn't have wanted to have been there. Because I know right now, He knows what is going on. And He said, listen to the Lord, hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision and will speak unto him in a dream. Now listen, I've got to close, I know that. The Lord said, now listen to me. You, I'm talking to you, Miriam, and to you, Aaron. If there be a prophet among you, I will speak to him and will tell him, make known unto him in a vision, and will speak unto him in a dream. Now, in the New Testament, there's another occasion where this happens. Yeah. Joel had prophesied of it. Day of Pentecost. But now listen. I want you to listen very carefully to what the Lord says. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all mine house. Not too hard to understand, folks. Miriam and Aaron had complained about Moses, trying to leave the impression, well, is that he's the only one the Lord can speak to? It was being derogatory to Moses. The Lord's going to stop it. He said, there are prophets. He didn't even deny that Miriam was a prophetess. No. But he said, listen, those people I will speak to in visions and in dreams. But my servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all mine house. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches, and the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore then were ye not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? Now listen, Moses is different. I'm going to speak to him so that it's a direct communication with him. And he says, and I want you to notice very carefully, he says, with him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches. So, you know, there's no possibility of there being a failure in what is being said. It's direct to Moses. And the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Similitude. It's important. Remember, see, no one can look upon God. No one has ever been able to look upon him. Moses come the closest of anyone. He only saw his backside, though. He didn't see him face to face. And he had to wear a veil over his face because he shined so brightly from being in the presence of the Lord. The Lord, speaking to Miriam and Aaron, said, hey, I'll talk to him direct. And will you not be afraid to speak against my servant Moses? And the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed. Isn't that interesting? We always talk about that we get away from the Lord and we forsake the Lord. Here's a case where the Lord walked off and left them. The Bible says the Lord departed. But you know what? He wasn't through with them. He wasn't happy with them. You know, sometimes I think that we don't understand God at all. I think we've made him such a good guy that we don't think that, you know, that he's capable of any of these things. We just need to read his word, man. I'll tell you what, he's tough. He has a right to be. Oh, he loves us, but by the same token, there's some things he's just not going to tolerate. He's just going to get fed up with some of the things that are going on today. And one of these days, as you all know, he's just going to come along and say, that's enough. I've got all of it that I want to hear. I've got all of it that I want to see. Go gather the elect from off the four corners of the earth. In the meantime, God still has little groups like we are here that are trying to stay in truth to his word and to be faithful unto him. And there are going to be people who think, oh, we need to be doing things differently. You know, we need to be doing something differently. Well, I'm not opposed to doing anything differently as long as we stay consistent with the word. But if all we've got in our mind is that we want to fill the house, then we need to quit preaching the word of the Lord, and we need to go out here and get us either a casino, or we not need to start, you know, having a dance hall here where we could just open it up and fill it up here. And I'm not being, you know, I'm not being critical. Some of you may go to the casinos. That's fine. That's your business. I'm not going to say it. But that's not the way. That's not the way we want to attract people to come to church. You know, it takes the Spirit of God. And probably what we need to do is just be more about doing his work and a little less critical about what things are going wrong. And maybe, just maybe, the Lord will speak to some of us, and when he does, we need to listen to him. Amen.